you on the, take some photos and some screenshots of the verses and the quotes and the dad jokes on the screen, and take notes. Whenever you hear a message at New Hope, we encourage you to take notes, because otherwise it's in one ear and out the other and you forget it. And the passage that we're looking at today, I encourage you to study it during the week, feed yourself on God's Word, and we encourage you to join with me in prayer as we open the service, open the message today, as we open the Word. And I want to pray specifically for a good friend of mine as we pray. For those who haven't heard, a guy that used to be part of our church for a number of years is unwell. His name's Steve Beazle. Now, some of you would remember Steve. He's preached here before. He's been a part of our men's group on and off for a while. Used to have a church down at Logan. And I was on the phone with him yesterday. He's just recently been diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And the doctor's given him 6 months to live. He's asked for prayer for healing. And so I prayed for him on the phone yesterday, and we're going to keep standing in faith for his healing. He's a dear man of God. He's got a great testimony. So we're going to pray for him as we open the Word today as well. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just lift up Steve to you and his wife and his children, and we just pray for a blessing on his whole family in the name of Jesus. We pray, God, that you will heal him. We rebuke that cancer and that sickness, and we tell it to go in the name of Jesus. We join together in corporate faith, and we just pray for a miracle. Lord God, we believe in the power of the cross, the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Lord, that you came to save us from our sins and heal us from our diseases. So we proclaim healing over Steve in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for victory. We thank you for a good testimony. We pray that all the pain will leave his body and that you'll just bless him right now. And we're just believing for a miracle, Lord. And Father, as we open your Word today, we ask that you'll speak to us about the power of the resurrection and that we can walk in that same resurrection power. We ask for this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen, amen. Well, God bless you. As you open your Bibles today, we're going to walk through Luke 24, verse 13 to 35. So if you want to get your scriptures ready, if you're looking on your smart device, don't go on your Facebook. Keep in the Word. And we're going to also just want to welcome everyone on Facebook. Thanks so much for joining us online. When you hear a scripture, please type it in and give us an amen if you're watching online as well. Got a few quotes I want to walk through as we open the Word today. Samuel Rutherford, a great man of God, said this: "The cross of Christ is the sweetest burden that I ever bore. It is such a burden as wings are to a bird, or sails to a ship, to carry me forward to my harbour." And if you know, there's new hope with the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Amen? There is good news. After the cross of Christ on Good Friday, Sunday is the resurrection day. And today we celebrate his resurrection. Amen? Charles Spurgeon said this: "I find no better cure for that depression than to trust in the Lord with all my heart and seek to realize afresh the power of the peace-speaking blood of Jesus and his infinite love in dying upon the cross to put away all my transgressions." Isn't that good news? We receive peace when we follow Jesus. And Billy Graham said it well when he said, "God proved his love on the cross. When Christ hung and bled and died, it was God saying to the world, I love you." I just feel to just start the message today just to really encourage you. I want you to know that God loves you because he loves you. Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Some of you may be here today and you may be thinking, God can't love me. If only you knew what I was like. If only you knew what I've done. If only you knew how bad I am. Let me tell you, the devil is a liar. The devil came to steal, kill, and destroy. And he's a liar. And the devil will say to you, you're no good. You've messed up too much. But I'm here to tell you, God says today, I love you. I've got a plan and a purpose for every one of you. You know, on Good Friday, we had a great service here. We really enjoyed Bob Mendelsohn from Jews for Jesus sharing about the Passover and how it relates to Jesus on the cross. If you missed it, you can watch it on our Facebook page or check our podcast and check it out. And then I had a great Good Friday dinner with some friends. We went and caught up with some good friends. We had Sean and Liz Murray back from India. Let's give them a big welcome back, everyone. Woo! These guys came for a dinner with some other friends. That they spent 3 weeks in India and saw many miracles, saw many people come to Christ, and travelled all around India seeing amazing work of church planting and wells and things. And Sean's going to be sharing a little bit in the service next Sunday with his family about some of the things they saw in India. So I'm looking forward to that next week. But a bunch of us got together, and Cara, who hosted the dinner with her husband, invited us, you know, there. That had some beautiful food. And then as we were driving there that afternoon, Carol said to me, "Oh, by the way, honey, Cara wants you to share the Easter message with all the people at the dinner." I said, "Oh, yeah, okay, sounds good, all right." And thinking it might be a short little thing. And then as we talked about it, we really felt like God wanted us to create a tradition where we remember Jesus dying on the cross, rising from the dead, and talking through the Easter story. So we sat there with all the kids. There was about 20 of us around the table, all the kids and all the adults, and we talked through what Jesus went through when he died on the cross, the nails in his hands and his feet, the crown of thorns on his head, the sword that pierced him, and blood and water flowed, the Bible said, how he was laid in the tomb for 3 days, and he went down to hell and stole the keys of Satan, the keys of death and Hades, amen? And then he rose from the grave on Resurrection Sunday. And we talked about it, and all the kids were all in, and I had a whole bunch of quiz questions for the kids, and they were quoting John 3:16, they were quoting, you know, and it was just a real special moment, you know. And then we also were talking throughout the night, and there was one of the guys there hadn't given his heart to Jesus yet, and I saw Liz Murray sharing her testimony with him. I thought, oh, that's awesome, praise God. Because how many of you know you can't argue with someone's testimony? And I really wanted to chat to him, and I thought, oh, I won't push it, you know. And then this guy came over and sat with me. We started chatting a bit more. And then Sean started sharing his testimony with him. I thought, oh, this guy's a goner. Whenever Sean shares his testimony, you know, because he's got an amazing testimony of what God's done in his life. And we talked a bit about how, you know, there's scientific evidence that Jesus died and rose again. There's historical evidence. There is archaeological evidence. There's probably geological evidence. Every logical you can think of, there's all sorts of evidence. And you can go through that, you can study, you can research it. But we shared with our friend, the best evidence is a life transformed. And you can't argue with Liz's testimony, you can't argue with Sean's testimony. And I said to this guy, I said, mate, I know we've spoken a bit before. Are you ready to give your heart to Jesus? And he goes, yeah, let's do it. So Sean and I had the privilege of praying with this brother, and you could just see his countenance change. You could just see like the light came on. And I just wanted to share that story at the start of my message today, because I'm believing that today, at the end of this message, there'll be others here today where the light comes on, their eyes are opened, and they go, yep, today's the day for me. Easter Sunday, 2023, I'm going to come to Jesus. I'm going to stop living for myself. I'm going to step off the throne of my heart, and I'm going to invite Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior. So I'm just giving you a heads up. About 25 minutes time. We'll see how we go. 30 maybe. See how we go. Maybe 40 minutes. Anyway, a bit later, I'm going to give you an opportunity to come to Jesus. And I'm believing that today people are going to say yes to Jesus. Anybody excited about that? Hallelujah. Ken Davis tells the story of a woman who looked out of a window and saw her German shepherd shaking the life out of a neighbor's rabbit. Her family did not get along well with these neighbors, so she knew this was going to be a disaster. She grabbed a broom and pummeled the dog until it dropped the dead rabbit from its mouth. Seeing the dead rabbit, she panicked. She grabbed the rabbit took it inside, gave it a bath, blow-dried it, and made it fluffy again. She combed until the rabbit looked like a rabbit again. She snuck it into the neighbor's yard and propped it up back in its cage. An hour later, she heard screams coming from next door. She asked her neighbor what was going on. Our rabbit, her neighbor cried. He died 2 weeks ago. We buried him and now he's back. Oh, Norm, that's the best heckle I've heard in a long time from you. He said, what a hair-raising experience. That's very good, Norm. I've never heard a good heckle from Norm, but that was a good one, Norm. Well, you came to the party on Easter, on Resurrection Sunday. That's good. A hair-raising experience. Now, it's a bit of a silly story, but how many of you know everybody loves a good resurrection? Today, we're going to talk about the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The most important event in history. The day that split time in half, amen? Those 3 days, man, can you imagine what the Father was going through when his Son went to the cross? Can you imagine what the disciples were going through when their rabbi went to the cross? Can you imagine what the Roman soldiers were going through seeing this guy? Can you imagine what everyone was going through over those 3 days? Well, here we are. 2,000 years later, 2 billion people call themselves Christians around the world. And it's the most important event in history. And here we are celebrating it today. We're going to have a look at a passage in Luke 24, verse 13. And it's a famous story after the resurrection about some disciples walking along the road. And I remember when I was a young teenager in Coffs Harbour Baptist Church, a couple of the men in the church weren't really serious about following God. They were going to church because their wives made them go. And then these two men, who I knew pretty well, they went to what's called an Emmaus walk. Anybody heard of Emmaus walk before? Yeah? So it's a Christian camp you go to. I thought, I wonder what this Emmaus walk is all about. And I don't want to spoil the secrets, but basically these men got sent to a camp by their wives. And all weekend, they had time to get away from their life and to think about Jesus and eternity. And people write letters to them and they open the letters and they have times when they get prayer ministry. And I'm not going to spoil the secret in case anybody ever goes on an Emmaus walk. But I remember as a teenage boy seeing these hardened, ungodly churchmen go away to this Emmaus walk and they came back completely different. Because they had an encounter with Jesus. How many of you know all you need is an encounter with Jesus and you're different, you're changed, you're transformed? And I remember thinking, I want to find out what this Emmaus walk is all about. And this is basically where they get the name Emmaus walk from. Now it says in verse 13, now that same day, two of them were going to the village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. Now, you don't have to stand for the word of God. It's okay, because I'm gonna stop and go in and out for this one. Just for those who are new here today, I started training our church to stand when we read the Bible, and we're not going to do it today because I'm going to be all over the place today. Is that all right, Kathy? Yeah. But thank you for standing, girls. That was lovely of you to do that. Verse 14, they were talking with each other about everything that happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. Now, let's just pause here for a moment. Just get this right in your head. So we know Jesus died on the cross on Good Friday, rose from the dead. And we know that on Resurrection Sunday, the women went to the tomb. The stone was rolled away. The angels said, you know, why do you look for the living among the dead? And then they ran and told the disciples. The disciples ran and they were like, wow. And, you know, a whole bunch of people thought, maybe someone stole the body. I don't believe that happened. Maybe Jesus didn't actually die. Maybe he just swooned on the cross. I don't believe that happened. Maybe the soldiers stole the body. I don't believe that. There's all these theories about what happened. I actually believe Jesus rose from the dead on that day. So Jesus then appears to these disciples. And I think it's interesting. It's not, you know, Peter and John. It's not some of the Top Gun disciples. It's just a couple of disciples walking along the road. And Jesus appears to them. But interestingly enough, they don't see that it's him straight away. Because God can do that. God has power, amen? So Jesus says to them, what are you discussing as you walk along? I think that's kind of funny because he knew what they were talking about. He's Jesus. He's the Son of God, you know. He's got a glorified body, by the way. Doesn't that blow you away? He could walk through walls. Anyway, this before I go off on a tangent. So the disciples stood still, their faces downcast. You can kind of imagine. They'd been following Jesus. They were ready for, you know, and they were pretty sad because Jesus had died and they thought it was all over. And their faces were downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know these things that have happened there in these days? What things, he asked. About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what's more, it's the third day since all this took place. Let's just pause there for a moment. For those who don't understand the context of that, all the messianic prophecies in the Old Testament, the Jews believed that when the Messiah came, he was going to take over with military rule. They thought he was going to be a soldier or a general of an army that was going to overthrow the Roman ruling people at the time. So they were confused because they'd seen Jesus teaching and they thought, yeah, Jesus, he's going to take over these horrible Roman guards that are oppressing the Jews, you know. So they were misunderstanding what the messianic prophecies were all about. It says, we'd hoped that this was the one who was going to redeem Israel, save us from Rome, basically. And what is more, it's the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Now, this is Jesus' response. He said to them, how foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. I wish I was there to hear that Bible study. That would have been the best Bible study ever. Jesus talking about this prophecy, this prophecy, this prophecy, this prophet, this, you know. There's a few hundred prophecies in the Bible. I don't know if he went through all 300. He probably just picked the best bunch. But imagine Jesus explaining to them, this is what the Messiah is all about. I would have loved to have been there for that. Doesn't unpack it much more than that, but that's what happened. Verse 28, as they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, stay with us, for it's nearly evening, the day is almost over. So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened. Anybody excited about that? Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Anybody here have their heart burning when they hear the words of Jesus? Anybody felt something supernatural when they read the word of God or when they hear a prophetic word? Their heart's burning within them? Maybe you're in a place where you've never had your heart burning. Maybe you're in a place where your eyes have never been opened. Well, I've been praying all week that today some of us here will have their eyes opened, will have their hearts burning when they hear the words of God today. I remember when I was 15, I've been raised in the church. I knew all about God. I knew the Bible verses. I'd been to church. I'd been to Sunday school. I knew all the basics. But I'd never heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ until I went to that youth camp when I was 15, and my heart was burning within me. When that preacher said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." And he said, "Who wants to come to Jesus?" And my heart was burning within me. My hand went up and I said yes to Jesus. And then I signed a little piece of paper, a little piece of cardboard that day that I signed up for full-time ministry. Because I just believed if you come to Jesus, you come to Jesus with everything. I actually believe everyone who's a Christian should be in full-time ministry, whether it be in their workplace, in their home, wherever. Some of us are working for a church and we're in full-time ministry officially, but we're all in full-time ministry, amen? But I still remember that day when I was 15 years old at that youth camp and my heart was burning inside me and my eyes were opened. I'm believing today that some of you, your eyes will be opened. Your heart will be burning within you as you hear the word of the Lord. Verse 33, they got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." Then the two told what had happened along the way and how Jesus was recognized when he broke the bread. We're going to skip over a little bit to verse 45. The bit we're skipping over is the bit where Jesus appeared to the disciples and said, "Peace be with you." You can study that bit later. It's a good bit. But this is the bit I want to get to. Verse 45. Jesus appeared to them and he said, he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. How many of you know we need the Holy Spirit to understand the scriptures? The Bible tells us that you try and read the word without the Holy Spirit, it doesn't make sense. But with the Holy Spirit, you can get revelation from God's word. Every day we need to ask God to speak to us through his word. One of my favorite parts of the day is getting up early in the morning when everyone else is asleep, when it's dark still, and opening up my word and asking God to speak to me every day so that when I preach, I've got fresh bread to bring, fresh revelation, something that God has spoken to me about I can share with others so that God can speak to me and maybe there's sin in my life I need to repent from. He'll speak to me about it. Maybe there's an area in my life I need to forgive someone. The Holy Spirit will speak to me about it. When there's a scripture I read that God gives me revelation about, he opens my eyes, he opens my heart. How many of you know we need the Holy Spirit to give us revelation from his word? Every day we need to ask for God to speak to us so we can understand the scriptures. Verse 46, he told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Verse 47, there's the R word. You mightn't hear it in many churches these days. Repentance. A lot of churches these days just say, "Come to Jesus, everything will be okay. Come as you are, everything's okay. Live however you want, do whatever you want. Come and just follow Jesus and everything will be okay." But the message of the gospel is repent or perish. Turn from your sinful ways. Stop that addiction. Stop that relationship that's ungodly. Stop that whatever it is. Turn. So the word repentance means you're going one direction and then you have a change of mind. Metanoia is the word. You change your thinking. And some people say it's physically you turn first. No, you change in your mind first. You change in your thinking first. And when you change in your thinking, then you automatically change in your life when you come to know Jesus. John the Baptist preached it, didn't he? He said, "Repent or perish." He called those Pharisees a brood of vipers. Or those religious fuddy-duddies, they were clean on the outside but dirty on the inside. And he told them to repent. I actually heard a story this morning. I love watching the Hour of Power on Sunday mornings, 5 a.m. Channel 10. Bobby Shuler from LA, he's a great preacher. And he shared a story today about an Australian sheep. I thought that's perfect for my sermon when I talk about repentance. That's awesome. He talked about this Australian sheep. I can't remember all the details. Some of you may know the story better than me, but in a nutshell, there was a sheep that had been lost for like 15 years or something. And it had all this wool. I think it was 80 kilograms of wool. So you might, if you Google it, you can find the images. And so it just covered. The wool covered its eyes so much that it couldn't see. And it was massive because it had been roaming around, hadn't been sheared for so many years. And so they found this record-breaking 80-kilogram, you know, sheep that was covered in wool. And then when they shaved it off, it was the skinniest sheep you'd ever seen in your life because it was emaciated, hadn't been fed properly for years. And on the outside, it looked all healthy. But on the inside, it was about to die because it was sick. It was broken. And friends, maybe today you're in a place where on the outside, everything's looking okay. You're putting on a good show. You're coming to church, acting like everything's okay. Yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, no problem. But on the inside, you might be full of sin. You might be full of greed, full of lust, full of evil, full of lying, jealousy. I don't know what sins you've got inside you. You might be full of all sorts of stuff on the inside. On the outside, you look fine, but on the inside, you know that you're filthy and you're dirty. I'm here to tell you the good news. When you repent from your sins, the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen? When you repent, the bad news is that you're a sinner and you're going to hell unless you come to Jesus. The good news is you're a sinner and you're going to heaven if you come to Jesus. And when you come to Jesus, you are washed whiter than snow. You might be like that sheep that's looking good on the outside, but on the inside, you're about to die. I'm here to tell you, Jesus is the one that can bring you new hope today. On Resurrection Sunday, He is the one that can save us, heal us, and deliver us. You might be walking along the road like those disciples and not realize that Jesus is here, wanting to speak to you, wanting to open your eyes to the Scriptures, wanting to speak to you. I remember when my eyes opened at the age of 15. Some of you haven't opened your eyes yet. Some of you, maybe today, your eyes will be opened. Some of you know the truth about Jesus, but haven't yet made a decision to come to Him. Maybe today is the day for your salvation. Verse 47, we just read, repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all nations, even Australia, beginning at Jerusalem. And then He said, you are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you've been clothed with power from on high. Who's received power from on high? I'm here to tell you, when you come to know Jesus, you receive the Holy Spirit, and then you can receive the power of the Holy Spirit every day. You can be baptized, fully immersed in the Holy Spirit. That word power is from the Greek word dunamis, which is where we get the word dynamite, which means explosive power. Who wants the explosive power of God in their life? To turn from sin, to be a witness. In verse 50, when He'd led them out of the vicinity of Bethany, He lifted up His hands and He blessed them. While He was blessing them, He left them and whew, I don't know if that was the sound effect, but that's what I'm doing. Was taken up into heaven. Then they worshipped Him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they stayed continually in the temple, praising God. You know what? I would have loved to have been there 2,000 years ago. I would have loved to have been one of those disciples to see it all. But God didn't want me there 2,000 years ago. He wanted me here in 2023. He wanted you to be here in 2023. This gospel has been preached to all nations before the end will come, it says in Matthew 24. And we are here today because God chose us to be part of his last day's army that takes the gospel to the nations, amen? You could have been alive 2,000 years ago and it would have been good, but I'm here to tell you today is the day that God wanted you here. He wants you to hear this message today and he wants you to take the message to your friends, to your family, to your Judea, Jerusalem, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth, amen? It's our turn now, amen? The baton has been passed to us to share the good news. So on Good Friday, we had a great service. And after church, I normally like to have a nana nap. I'm getting old, you know, 48 over the hill, far away, you know. Need a good rest. So my wife and I sat down. The kids were away. They were in Coffs Harbour with their older sister and the cousins. And we had the house to ourselves. Like, this is awesome. So we thought, well, let's watch a movie. And Carol loves Whitney Houston. Oh, I want to dance with somebody. She grew up with that music and all that. And she wanted to watch the Whitney Houston movie. I'm like, okay, dear. Yes, dear. You know what us husbands are like? Yes, dear. Yes, okay. Yes. I wanted to watch some action movie, but she wanted to watch that. So I love my wife. It's Good Friday. I'll give her a leave pass. You know, anyway, so we watched the Whitney Houston movie. And she's in the kids' church. Oh, you're meant to be in kids' church, honey. Oh, my goodness. I'm in trouble now. Anyway. Anyway, why am I talking about Whitney Houston? Because it broke my heart. The movie starts with her in a gospel choir singing Amazing Grace at church, singing this beautiful, how great thou art, oh happy day, all these gospel songs. She started out so sweet, so precious in church. And then she got a record deal. She got money. She had fame. She had all this stuff. Traveling the world, a big entourage. And if you know, in the world's eyes, you've made it when you got all that, haven't you? And there was this scene in the movie that just broke my heart. You know, I said to my 25-year-old daughter recently, I said to her, you look at all the most famous movies, all the most successful movies. One of the keys to writing a successful movie is daddy issues. Someone who has a problem with their father. You watch, it comes up in every movie. Luke Skywalker and Darth Vader. Daddy issues. Mrs. Doubtfire, daddy issues. you name any movie you can think of. You'll find somewhere in a movie where there's a daddy issue. And ever since I told my daughter that, she's noticed it. It's a formula that Hollywood uses. Now you'll be looking for it whenever you see it. And she told me, she goes, every movie I watch, Dad, there's a daddy issue. I'm like, yeah. I said, thank God you got a good dad, honey. Eh? You know? Anyway, I told her I'm a good, good father. Anyway, so Whitney Houston, her dad's her manager. And he's doing a bit of dodgy stuff behind the scenes with the money, apparently, you know. It's based on a true story, all that, you know. I don't know much about it, but there's a scene where he's in hospital, about to die. Spoiler alert. It's a true story, so you can Google it. Anyway, but She rushes to his bedside to go and see her dad. She stops her world tour. She's on drugs. Her life's a mess. She stops her world tour. She goes to see her dad. And she wants to be with her dad in his final moments. And he says to her, you owe me money. And she says, I don't owe you money. And they have this big fight about money. And she storms out. And that's the last time she saw her dad. And it just broke my heart. You know what? We've all got daddy issues. Whether you had a good father or a bad father or an absent father or an abusive father or a passive father, no matter what kind of father you had, we've all got a wound inside us because of something to do with our father. But I'm here to tell you, this is the message of Easter. That we have a good, good Father in heaven. A perfect Father in heaven. As I watched that scene in the movie, I thought of that verse in Matthew 16. What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, yet forfeit their soul? And I thought of this song. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure. That he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away. As wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear his mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom. But I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. Why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer. But this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, there is a God in heaven who is a perfect Father who will never let you down. He has been forever, he is now, and he will be forever. And he's a good, good Father. He loves you with a perfect love. And even though you might be like the prodigal son, or you might be like Whitney Houston, you might have strayed away from the love of the Father. We know the story of the prodigal son, where the son had lost everything. He'd wasted all his money, wasted everything. Ended up in a pigsty feeding pigs, which for a Jew is not very kosher. And he says, I'd rather be a servant in my father's house than be here feeding the pigs. You see, he had the wrong view of the father. He thought, maybe I could be a servant, a slave in my father's house. And when he came back to the father saw him and the father ran to him. He said, my son that was lost is now found. He was blind, but now he can see. And he welcomed him back, not as a servant, not as a slave, but as a son. Because our Heavenly Father is a perfect Father. And even while we were sinners, he died for us. He sent his one and only Son to die for us. So that all of our transgressions, all of our sins can be forgiven when we come to the Father. Friends, I don't know where you're at in your relationship with God today. Maybe you're like the prodigal son and you're away from God the Father. Maybe you're like Whitney Houston. You're in the world, you're partying, you think everything's fine. Maybe you're in a place where you once knew God, but you've slowly drifted away from your relationship with God. I'm here to tell you today that Jesus is calling you to the Father today. How deep the Father's love is for us. You know, the Bible tells us nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. No height, nor depth, nor breadth, nor angels or demons, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. All we have to do is come to him and say, forgive me, Father. The Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Maybe today on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, maybe today you're ready to say yes to Jesus. Let's bow our heads and let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every single person that's hearing my voice right now, those online, those here in the building. Father, I pray if there's anyone here today that needs to come back to the Father, I pray your Holy Spirit will work in their hearts right now. I'm here to tell you, in John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man will see the Father in heaven but through me. Friend, I'm here to tell you it's only through Jesus that you can be saved. In just a moment, we're going to pray a prayer where you can come to God and have your sins forgiven. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and is risen from the dead, then you will be saved. If today you know you're a sinner and you know you need to come to Jesus as your Savior and Lord, and if you want to pray that prayer with me, if you're ready to pray that prayer and come to Jesus, I want you to lift up your hand right now and I'll pray with you today. Is anyone today? I see that over there. That's great. Who else is there that says, yes, I'm ready to come to Jesus. I'm going to turn from my old life and surrender afresh to Jesus today. I see that over there too. That's great. Who else is there that says, yes, I want to come to Jesus. I see that too. That's wonderful. Anybody else? Don't put this off, friend. I see that as well. That's great. Who else is there? Don't put this off. Today is the day of salvation. Maybe you've been running away and you want to come back to Him today. If that's you, put your hand up. If you want to come to Him, I see that too. That's awesome. Who else is there? It says, yes, I'm ready. That's awesome. I just feel to just wait a little bit longer. I see that as well. That's awesome. Yep, that's great. I just feel to wait a little bit longer. With every eye closed, no one looking around, this is between you and God. Some of you here today, you know you need to come to Him. Maybe your heart is racing inside your chest. God is opening your eyes to the Lord Jesus right now. With every eye closed, if you haven't put your hand up yet, and you know now is the time to come to Jesus, and you want to come to Jesus, I want you to put your hand up. Is there anybody else? Just put your hand up real high so I can see it today. That's awesome. I see that too. Who else is there? Come to Jesus today. Don't put it off. I see that, brother. That's awesome. Anybody else? Just feel to ask one more time. If you haven't put your hand up yet, and today's the day for you, just put your hand up. This is between you and God. Anybody else today? That's awesome, brother. I see that too. I'm going to ask everyone to stand to their feet. And for those that raised their hand, I want you to come over here and get a Bible today, and we're going to pray with you in just a moment. Let's give them a hand as they come forward. For those that raise their hands, just come out the front right now, and we're going to pray for a blessing on you, every single one. Give them a big hand as they come. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Bible says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before the Father in heaven. It's important to have a public declaration of your faith. Come here and grab a Bible. And we're going to pray a special prayer together called the Sinner's Prayer. It's a prayer where you're asking Jesus to forgive you of your sins. If you put your hand up and you haven't come forward, just run out the front right now. We're going to pray together. Okay, let's pray this prayer together. Everyone repeat after me. Dear God in heaven, thank you for sending Jesus to die on the cross for me. Please forgive me of my sins and make me born again. I turn from my sinful ways and I surrender my life to you. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stretch out our hands and pray for these precious ones. Father God, I thank you so much for every single precious soul that's out here today. We bless them. We pray, God, that you'll fill them with your Holy Spirit today. Lord God, that today will be a day in history where they look back and they go, yep, that's when I started following Jesus with all my heart. Holy Spirit, fill them today. I pray for your power to come and touch every one of them today. Lord Jesus, may they be fully devoted followers of you. Now, I know there were others that put their hand up that haven't come forward yet. Please come forward. We've got some Bibles for you today. And we're going to open the altar for prayer today. Maybe you're in a place where you know you're lukewarm. You know you're half-hearted. You know you're backslidden. And you want to